Welcome to the Music Matters podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're joined with Chad Magnant.
How's it going, Chad? Welcome to the show. Right on, mate. I'm going to kick straight into it and pretty much get straight to the point. Where did your journey with electronic music begin? And really, what was your influences in getting into electronic?
I have this very early memory in elementary school of going to all the local elementary schools went to see a band play.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can't even remember what the music was like. It was a synth band, though, but the visual, I have a good memory of the visual of these guys standing behind rocks of synths, thinking that was cool.
Yeah.
Out here where we live, everybody was, it was all rock music, and we played in metal bands, but...
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I know myself personally, I'm married to a Canadian lady, and rock was very much the big thing here back in the day, whereas obviously we're from England, and electronic, I think, maybe came in a bit earlier than it did in North America. So I would think in Prince George, you guys probably getting into electronic were maybe a little bit ahead of some of your other people that were around the area, right?
Yeah, you had to hunt it down back then.
Right.
Until mid-90s, I think you started getting the UK dance music on Much Music.
Mm-hmm.
Back when they used to play videos.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, you start seeing like Chemical Brothers and Aphex Twin and Square for sure.
For sure.
And they're good as well, eh?
Yeah.
They're iconic for sure, man. So we've seen you, I've seen like you've made some like short films. Because obviously we research every person like we interview, obviously. And yeah, so you made some short films and stuff like that. And when I watched them, it had some form of synthesis behind it. Is that, did you get into synthesis to make the music for your short films? Was that the reason, or?
No, I was into electronic music a long time before that, but in a sort of a weird roundabout way, that's what got me into the modular. Because I wasn't very happy with the music on those short films. And so I started looking at synthesizers, an actual outboard synthesizer, kind of as an upgrade, and found the Moog Mother 32. That's what got me into that.
Okay, so how long's the project for making the film and actually structuring out the sound for the film? Like, how do you know what you want to write for that particular piece of short film that you've made?
That's a good question. Both of the short films were sort of horror films, so it's definitely dark music, you know, watching, I don't know, just kind of watch films and decide what you want to do, I guess.
So yeah. You thought a lot of the horror films' music was basically shit and thought, I'm going to write some dark synthesis.
I thought mine was shit.
And again, like we've looking on you, you've got some pretty nice hardware. What made you choose the pieces you've got? Was there any other things you listened to that you tried out in the past that you passed up on, or, you know, what really made you choose the actual units you've got that you use for your productions?
After I bought the one Mother 32, I was planning on only buying one, and then buy one, and it's like, oh, if I just had two, I could get it going. Then I wanted drums, and the deep band wasn't out yet, so I bought a few pieces that were drum specific, percussion specific. And then DFAM comes out, so then I got out of the DFAM. And then, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't planning on getting a case, and pretty soon got to get a case.
Because you think about it, like, it's like a snowball effect in it when you buy, well, you've done it, haven't you? When you buy one piece of equipment, you're like, yeah, I'll buy another piece. And then you're like, now I need another piece, and now you just got this huge fucking collection of fucking hardware.
Eurorack stuff is super addictive.
Yeah, and how is your Eurorack? Like, how many pieces have you got in there right now?
I'm not even sure.
How many pieces were in there?
Put 12 different pieces, I think, in there.
Oh, really? So what you got in there at the moment, then?
There's Dave Smith modular, feedback module, WMD, the crucible cymbal module, make noise mixers, an antimatter audio trigger sequencer. The two Mother 32s are in the case.
Nice.
Nice, man, yeah.
And how long is it taking you to build up that rack?
Oh, it's been a few years. Oh. I had just the Moogs for a while.
Yeah.
Bought that case. I bought a few to try and fill the case up and then it sort of slowed down a little bit.
So where's like your local store then? Because ours is Long McQuaid. Have you got Long McQuaid up there as well?
That's about, I think, all we have up here. So I'm usually ordering from a lot of from Moog Audio back east and Technosynth in Montreal. But I just ordered from Nightlife in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Technosynth is quite a big one, eh? For Canada anyway, in Montreal, right? Because like in LA, you have like Perfect Circuit, all these other kinds of sort of shops, right? And Technosynth in Montreal is quite a big thing in Canada, right?
I think so. I think Moog Audio is probably the bigger store.
Okay. Yeah, because we like to say we don't. I've only been here for like 3 years, so I don't know, really know where to buy equipment in. Sort of.
Yeah, I've ordered from the States. Yeah.
What's that?
I've ordered a few times from the States too.
But oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Because even the make noise stuff is pretty good, eh? Because a lot of these individual like. Modular sort of brands. They don't make like a big batch like you would with Behringer. They're going to be making big batches of modules, but like these smaller ones, like Make Noise is getting quite popular now, right?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, did you hear that, Chad?
Yeah, I cut out for a second there.
Yeah, I think we lost you for a second. They were back now, though.
Did you get my question, or?
No. Oh, we're glitching.
We're glitching, eh?
I think so.
Sorry, no, I didn't get the
question. No, he didn't get the question.
Oh, sorry about that. So, yeah, as Make Noise is quite is becoming quite a popular sort of brand now. It never used to be that big because obviously a lot of these module companies are quite small. They make obviously a small batch and Behringer is obviously making a big batch now. So how did you come to hear about Make Noise and these other small, like what ones did you, why did you pick out these particular brands to make your sound sort of thing?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm cutting out like crazy here. How did I hear about Make Noise in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of what I found out about modular was from Instagram. Like I started very early after I got the Mother 32, started posting videos on Instagram. So it was totally just seeing other people's vids on Instagram.
Yeah.
Hear what somebody else was doing and often I'd pick a piece up because of that.
And would you buy it from Long? Well, you buy it from, where is it? Moog?
So I'm not sure where I got the Make Noise stuff from. One of those places, yeah.
Because me and Craig watch a guy called Look Mum Mo Computer. Have you ever watched him?
Yeah, I've seen his video, yeah.
He made like 1,000 oscillator fucking Moog, didn't he? It's fucking massive. He just like threw one sound into it. It's like, I'm just going to try and shape this 1,000 times, like with 1,000 oscillators and all sorts of shit. It's just crazy. He made like something out of a Furby organ.
You have a bicycle synth, that guy?
Yeah, it's just fucking crazy. Cool though.
Yeah, he's got some talent, that guy, for sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Looking back, and when you first got into this, was there any like artist that really stood out for you that made you kind of get into electronic music? And if there was an artist, was there any equipment that they were using that really like swayed you towards that style of music?
I was into, I think before sort of the UK stuff, I was into a lot of industrial, like Nine Inch Nails and Ministry.
Yep.
Actually, like the first electronic instrument that I bought was a crappy Oasis drum machine. But that was way back, like mid-90s.
Yeah.
When they were learning how to, there's one subby electronic kick on there. Might have been about the only really electronic sound on there, but learning how to, you could pitch shift it to make sequences, to make like a bass line.
Yeah.
That was like the earliest piece of equipment. I don't know, as far as the modular stuff, though, I was a lot of people on Instagram. I don't know if there's really a single artist on there.
No.
Just that scene.
I think back to my early days, and I think my first ever real piece of electronic equipment, me and Brad have talked about this before, I got one of those little Casio, I can't remember the model,
yeah.
But it was a tiny little Casio keyboard that had a vocal sampler on it. And Paul Hardcastle had done 19, that track, total electro. And I was obsessed with it. And I got this little Casio keyboard. And like I said, it was tiny, man. It was probably like 12 inches long. But it had this sampler. You could voice sample on it. And all I did was 19. And I would sit there for hours just going, 19, no, 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 19. No, 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 no. 19.
Have voice bits there. There you go.
And I think that thing probably, I wish I still had it. Honestly, I wish I still had that little piece of equipment in my collection, because I think it probably cost like $100 at the time. Like it was nothing. It was cheap as chips, Casio thing. But I look back and it's probably one of the most favorite little electronic toys I've ever had in my life, because it really spurred me into, you know, this little journey that we're on equipment and sounds and how you can make it. And it was so simple. It literally did like, I think it was maybe 5 seconds of sample and that was it.
The first piece of software I ever had was Acid Music back in the day, and same thing. Like, and I only had the eight trackers in that. There's no synths in it. You could just sample onto it. You could do things like what people were doing in hip hop with MPCs.
Right.
Sampling.
I love that stuff. I right now I do have one of the MPC lives I've got, and it was my dream my whole life to get an MPC, and finally I was in, actually it was Long and McQuaid, and I was stood there for a couple of days and I looked at this unit and over and over and over, and I was like, I do need an MPC in my life. and so I bought it, and it's fantastic, I gotta admit. It was everything I thought it would be and more than I would ever know how to use it. You know what I mean?
I still like simpler things with no menus.
Yeah.
I have an analog, electron analog rhythm sitting here, and I kind of don't use it that much because you got the electron stuff I have a hard time with. Menu diving.
Yeah.
That's the electron stuff's pretty fucking good. Eh? It's expensive though.
It's insane.
Fucking burns the wallet.
Yeah. If I don't use it for a while, I forget how to use it.
Yeah, I find that too. I go back on my MPC. I gotta admit, if I don't go on there like regularly, I go back in and I'm like, what button was that again? How do I do that? But once you get playing again, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it's that one, right?
So do you use any, when you make do your modulars and your mix and stuff like that, we've seen that you've made an EP and you put it on Bandcamp. What was the process of like making the EP, you know, with regards to obviously making the sounds, post-editing it, and finalize it, final mix down and everything like that, to releasing it on Bandcamp?
Not a lot of editing. Most of the mixing was done right on the modular with the Make Noise mixers, and I ran everything kind of to fake stereo. I ran everything into a 2HP reverb at the end.
Yeah.
Stereo reverb. But I did things using malts in the mixers so that there's different things on each side of the stereo mix. And then I think about the only thing I did in the computer was monoing the bass back and putting that back into mono afterwards. I think you kind of had the bottom end on malted onto both sides of that reverb. Kind of a weird way of doing it, but I don't have a stereo mixer yet in the modular, so I kind of figured out how to do it that way.
I don't think there's a particular right way of doing anything. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
whatever works.
Whatever works for sure.
Yeah, some of the artists out there do things their own way and
forms
their sound, right?
And again, sometimes those little mistakes can be the start of something beautiful. You know what I mean?
That's the great thing with the modular stuff, right? You can
get
it in so many different ways.
Absolutely. I've asked this one before with a few of our guests that have come on. What was your first piece of equipment that you bought? And other than that, I think we've already asked what the first one was, but if you were on a desert island and you could only take one little piece of modular equipment or a synth or a keyboard or whatever with you, what would that piece be?
First gear that I got, like I said, that Alesis drum machine as far as electronic gear went. But before that, I had guitars and amps. And Desert Island gear, maybe the Mother 32.
Really, eh? Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. So that patch bay is still fun.
I like Moog stuff, man. Moog is...
Yeah.
Or Moog, it's fucking cool shit. I do like it.
And Brad, you've got the DFAM too.
Yeah, right? DFAM, man, it's just a whole nother level for me. But I'm going to get back into like a bit more Eurorack, I think. But again, I don't know. I can see you got the box here. Is that a box that you made or is that one that you bought? Or
I bought that. I actually bought it from Moog Audio. It was a floor model. That's a nice case. I'd like to get something with power built in. I had to get the power module on that case.
Oh, really, eh? That's a pretty fucking sweet piece of kit, man.
Yeah.
Very nice piece of kit. So what kind of genre of music do you think you're really like aiming for with your sound that you're doing? Because obviously you've done a bit of ambient, right?
Yeah.
Is that
darker, I don't know, darker, heavier. It's maybe a little more on the industrial side of things.
So industrial techno?
Not really. I don't know. I do some techno, just kind of stuff that I put out usually isn't techno.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of stuff with heavier beats in it, but I was planning on putting out an album of that, but it kind of didn't happen. And then that kind of ambient album kind of went down.
Do you think like your Nine Inch Nails kind of influences coming in with your electronic, where you've got that kind of like, you know, heavier kind of metal sound almost, but mixed with electronic?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, some of the synth sequences I do on the Moog, I always hear afterwards, I kind of realize it's almost a guitar riff that I would have to write on guitar.
That's pretty cool though, you know.
Yeah, have you ever mixed the two together?
I had a project called quite a while back. It was out on a net label and it was guitars and electronics all mapped together.
Nice. I love that. I actually, one of the best shows I ever went to when I was younger was a band. It was called the Beta Band. And they had a mix. They had a guy there that had a little MPC and he had some keyboards and he had one turntable and he was just like the percussion over the top of this band. And the lead singer played guitar and he actually, at one point in the song, he ended up like, he brought out a samurai sword and he used his guitar as like a violin with the samurai sword. But the guy on percussion with the keyboards and the turntable, it was just next level. Like he came in and out of the tracks and it was that total mix of rock, but with a super huge electronic influence over the top of it, and it just blended so well the way they influenced each other in the tracks. I still got some on vinyl. I've still got some of their pieces. I listen to it nowadays and I'm like, man, that's like next level shit that people, I don't even know if there's many people doing that now, you know, where they really combine the two things in that way together at the same point, you know?
Yeah, I went to a lot of Nine Inch Nails shows back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Shows, a lot of Nine Inch Nails shows.
Do you watch, what's it called? Because Linkin Park do that, don't they? Linkin Park.
Yeah.
They got a guy that does, and even Slipknot, they got a guy that does the vinyl, the scratching.
Over the top, shit, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite a fucking unique sort of thing. So in Prince George, then, is there anywhere like you play out or anything like that? Or?
They played live, no. There was a bit of talk about it, and COVID happened, so nobody's played live. But
yeah, COVID's fucked a lot of the music industry up, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really done us a favor in any way, shape, or form. That's a go given.
So I guess, obviously, Brad asked you about your EP coming out soon, but you know, have you got any other plans for other stuff other than the EP? Are you working on any projects for the future?
I've actually been working on sample packs. I'm working on getting on one of your sites right now.
Awesome.
It's called Paranoid. I was supposed to be scoring a short film, sci-fi short film, but that got postponed because of COVID as well.
Yeah. 2020, man. It's been a great year.
Fucking great year, yeah. What's the short film? What was that for doing? What sort of, was you meant to be doing the filming and the sound for that in that project?
Friends of mine were doing it. A friend of mine was directing it. So I was just doing the music on it.
Oh, nice.
Real Alpha, yeah.
And was that a local thing? Like a Prince George thing?
Was going to be shot here. There was an actor from Vancouver and one of the actors was from Los Angeles. So
awesome.
She couldn't do it now because she'd have to quarantine 2 weeks on both sides on the way. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a month.
Yeah.
Quarantining to do it. So
is that, so what sort of music would you write for that? What is the sort of plan or genre for that sort of short film?
I did a bunch of pieces sort of to get ready for it using Omnisphere. And there was synths, but there's also a lot of acoustic instruments. I'd been messing around with some pianos for it. I was thinking about doing more glitchy kind of acoustic instruments, but sort of glitching them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
They wanted it to sound sci-fi, but I did some synth pieces and they sounded maybe too typical synth sci-fi. So that was an angle I was kind of moving towards, was using acoustic instruments a bit more and glitches and weird sound design on them to get it to sound sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And what would be the process like? So when you work with the filmmakers, what's the process for coming up with the tracks? Do they send you some clips of the movie and you come up with the tracks, or do you start coming up with soundscapes and like, how does that work?
Both, yeah. I did some pieces and sent them to everybody and then we had a talk about that. And then there was also some back and forth on pre-existing soundtracks, pre-existing scores, what mm-hmm. people liked, the things that people liked. We were bouncing things back and forth. I listen to a lot of scores.
I'm sure it's probably quite a lengthy process, eh?
But yeah, I've started narrowing things down.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I noticed everybody liked, was things that had melodies that were on plucked instruments or bell kind of things people were sort of agreeing on when we talked about it. But since the synthesizers were more like pads in the background and having a melody on like a weird plucked instrument.
Yeah.
The Ex Machina soundtrack, Jeff Darrell from Portishead.
Okay.
The other guy's name is, but they do a lot of scoring. Everybody was sort of, I think, agreeing on some of those scores. Everybody liked the sound of some of those guys' scores.
Yeah.
So with regards to doing that, have you ever collaborated with someone when doing these sort of the music for these sort of short films and stuff like that?
No, but actually me and a friend of mine did a piece just for a little short video at the local FanCon, which is a local Comic Con. Did like a did music for like a cosplay video.
Oh yeah.
That was about the only thing that ever I sort of worked with somebody else on. I'd be awesome. With another artist score.
Because cosplay is massive, isn't it? It's quite a big thing, right? And if you get your music involved in that, you are going to play it to quite a big big platform, right? It is going to get noticed.
And how do you feel, like, have you ever played out live in front of anyone? And is that something that you would ever think about doing? Like maybe setting up your system and, you know, playing live sets of whatever you want to do?
Yeah, I haven't with the modular. I haven't. We used to back in the day with bands that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Some metal bands. So we played live lots up here and in Vancouver, but not with the modular, but definitely would like to, yeah.
Yeah, right.
If you, because I see a lot of people that do ambient now, they go out into the wild, if you want to call it, and take their like modulars with them.
Yeah.
And do like a video of just doing modular in ambient modular with the setting that they're in, right? Is that something you've sort of like got interested in to do, or?
I haven't done that. No, I don't want to do it on Instagram, everybody out in the woods.
Yeah, a lot of people do it, eh? They go out there.
At the lake or in the cave.
What's that? Sorry, didn't quite hear that, but...
People in abandoned buildings with modular.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So is there anything you want to like plug away on the show before we clear up there? Is there anything you want to share with anyone?
Just Instagram, I guess. Chad Magnan on Instagram. And it's Ghostly White Claws on Bandcamp, the new EP. And there's also a Loop Pack Subscraper Beats on there.
Perfect. We'll make sure we promote some of that for you.
Do the whole Instagram thing, you know, because that's where the way it goes now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, awesome. Chad. Awesome, Chad. It was great to chat with you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, mate. I look forward to listening to some of your new stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll chat again soon.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy.